We have a Mishnah on Chav Vav Amud Beis in Rosh Hashanah, where the Mishnah tells us that there seemed to be a difference, a distinction between the shofar that was used on Rosh Hashanah and the shofar that was used in the Beis HaMikdash on a Tainus. So the Gemara says, on Rosh Hashanah they used to use a shofar that was made out of gold. However, obviously you're not allowed to have the gold near the mouth, that's what we spoke about the other day. However, on the Taniyos, they used to have a shofar that was made out of silver. So the Gemara wants to know, Maishna hasam dezav, and Maishna hacha dekesef. This is the Gemara halfway down on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. Why is it that on a fast day in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to use a silver shofar, whereas on Rosh Hashanah in the Beis HaMikdash, they used to use a gold shofar? So the Gemara says, one teretz, which is not of interest to us right now for this year. V'iba yisema, the second answer is, Hatora chasa al mamonon shel Yisrael. The Gemara says that the Torah has rachmanis on us. The Torah doesn't want us to waste too much money. And because the Torah knows that gold is going to cost a lot of money, therefore the Torah says, on a tainus tzibur, you should only use a shofar that's made out of kesef. Don't use a shofar that's made out of zav. It's going to be too expensive. Ask the Gemara if that's true. So how come on Rosh Hashanah the Torah is not worried about that? Rosh Hashanah, we go ahead and we waste all this money and we pay for a golden shofar. Why don't we say, HaTorah chasam amon shal Yisrael? Says the Gemara, no. Rosh Hashanah, you have an added factor of kavod yantif. So when you have kavod yantif, then, even though it's going to be expensive, we should be willing to spend the money anyway. But when you just have a tainus tzibur, that's not a reason why we should be wasting money. So I wanted to talk today about this principle that the Gemara has of HaTorah Chasa Al Mamonam Shel Yisrael. What I try to do in the Chaburas is to talk about things that I assume most people did not have a chance to look into. I would imagine nobody in this room looked into this Gemara of HaTorah Chasa Al Mamonam Shel Yisrael, but it's actually a very important Gemara, and it comes up Halacha L'maisa. So we're probably not going to talk about Baal Tosef because everybody, I'm sure, saw all the raid. I would hope you saw all the raid. There's a lot to see. But here, HaTorah Chasa Al Mamonam Shel Yisrael is a very interesting sugya. So Rashi says over here in our Gemara, how do we know the principle that the Torah is worried about somebody wasting money? HaTorah Chasa Al Mamonam Shel Yisrael. So Rashi writes over here that we learn it from the pasuk in Parshas Metzora. What happens in Parshas Metzora? We have a Bayis HaManuga. And in the Bayis HaManuga, the Kohen has to come back and look at the Nega and determine whether or not it's really a Nega Tzaras or whether it's just some sort of fluke that looks like a Nega Tzaras. And that's a process of a few weeks. And finally, after 3 weeks, the Kohen goes and he says, this has a Bayis HaManuga. So the Pasuk says over there that before the Kohen goes ahead and paskins on the house that it's a Bayis HaManuga, the Pasuk says, Vitziva HaKohen, Ufinu as HaBayis, the Kohen gives instructions that they have to clear out the house from all the furniture, from all the pots and pans, and then that's supposed to be done before the Kohen goes ahead and gives the Psak. V'lo yitame kol asher habayis. This way, when the Kohen actually renders the Psak and says, this house is a Bayis HaManuga, this way, the whole house and all of the contents inside of the house will not become tummy. That's what the Pasuk says over there in Parshas Metzora. And this is what Rashi and our sugya quotes as well. From here we learn, HaTorah Chasa Al Mamonam Shel Yisrael. Why? Because if the Kohen's going to go ahead and paskin on the house right away that it's tummy, then everything inside of the house is going to become tummy as well, even those items which will not be able to be come to her later on. Let's say Kli Cheres is something, it's an item that cannot become to her later on. You cannot put it in the mikvah. Not every item is able to be placed in the mikvah. So in a case like that, we were concerned that if the Kohen's going to give the Psak first, before you have a chance to take all the clothing, all the beds, all the pots and the pans out, then you're going to lose all that money. So therefore the Torah says, take it out first, because Chasa Al Mamonam Shel Yisrael. That's what you see over here. And this is really the drasha of the Torah's Kohanim. It's quoted in Chulin as well, in Rashi, but this is what Rashi writes over here. And the truth is, it's really a Mishnah in Mishnayis Negayim, where the Mishnah goes through the process of a Kohen going ahead and saying, determining that a house is going to be Tameh as a Bayis HaManuga. So the Mishnah says in Perek Yud Beis that the Kohen first instructs them to take everything out, only afterward does he give the Psak. And listen to the way the Mishnah ends up. Imkach Chasa HaTorah Al Mamono HaBazui. If this is the Torah's perspective on what, your little pot, your little pan, what's the big deal? It's Mamono HaBazui, it's nothing so important. Certainly when you have something that's a lot more important than just a little pots or pans, you should be very careful about it. Imkain, al mamono, if this is the way the Torah feels about my money, certainly a person has to be careful about their own body, their own nefesh, their own goof. And imkain, al shal rasha, if this is the sensitivity that the Torah has for a rasha, who's a baal lashon hara, who has negayim, who has saras coming on his house, and the Torah is still concerned about what's going to be with his pots and pans, kavachomer al shal tzaddik, then certainly you have to be concerned about the money of a tzaddik. So that's the way the Mishnah ends off. So it's a very important concept. The Vilna Gaon writes over there in his Pirush on the Mishnayis, he says, well, HaTorah Chasa Al Mamonam Shel Yisrael, yes, the Torah is very sensitive and the Torah is very caring about my money, but don't think that this is an obligation. It's not an obligation. It's just that you have an option. You want to go ahead and take all the kelim out of the house before the kohen goes ahead and says that your house is tameh. Gesundheit, do it. If you're not interested, you personally couldn't care less whether or not all your pots are going to go in the garbage and they're all going to become tameh. Fine, so you don't have to. That's what the Vilna Gaon writes. Now the Ravid on his pirush on that Taras Kahanim there, where he talks about this issue of a Torah Chasa, so the Ravid asks a very obvious question. If you're going to say the Torah is so careful about a person's money, and that's why the Torah says that you have to take all of the items from the house outside before the kohen gives the psak, how do we ever allow the kohen to give the psak at all? What do you mean? So you're telling me I have to take out my $5 pot, my $5 pan, and everything else. What about the house that costs $1 million? Why are we only concerned about the pots and the pans? How does the Torah tell me that the kohen is allowed to give up psak at all, which is going to make me have to knock down my $1 million house? That, asked the Ravid, is something that always bothered him. So the Ravid says, well, we have no rachmanis on you with regard to your house, because you had 3 weeks of time to go ahead and do tshuva. The kohen came the first time, and he starts looking at it. He says, you know what, we're going to set it aside for a week, we're going to check back in a week. Comes back a second time, and he says, well, we're going to have to set it aside again. And finally, after a third week, you haven't gotten the message, you don't know yet that the Ribbono Shel Olam is sending you a message to do tshuva, you still have the Bayis HaManuga. That means you're deserving of having your $1 million house knocked down. It's not anybody's fault, we don't have to worry about you then. That's your own problem. That's what the Ravid says, why we're not concerned about the Bayis HaManuga itself, whereas we are concerned about the contents of the Bayis. However, it's true that we find Rashi in our Sugya writes that the source of this whole halacha is from Parshas Metzora by the Bayis HaManuga, but the truth is the Gemara in Menachos has a very different source. The Gemara in Menachos Daf Ayin Vav says that we learn from somewhere else. We learn it from a pasuk in our Parsha, which, little secret, I'm giving the shiur this Shabbos. I was very excited because when I was preparing the Chabur this morning, I said, now I have a shiur to give on Shabbos. So I think, with your permission, if you think it's a good shiur, maybe we'll give it on Shabbos as well. So the Gemara says in Menachos Daf Ayin Vav, Amar Abelezer, HaTorah Chasa Amamon Shal Yisrael. Same principle that we have here, that the Torah was careful about not wasting people's money. Hey Chavamiza, ask the Gemara, how do you know that this is true? Where do you ever see in the Torah that the Torah is so sensitive and caring and careful about somebody's money? So what should the answer be? Bayis HaManuga. That's what Rashi writes by us. That's what Rashi writes in Chulin. That's what the Toras Kahanim says, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara has a whole different halacha from our Parsha. Gemara says, Dichsiv, it says in our Parsha, Parsha's Chukas, Kach es hamata v'hakel es ha'eda. Aaron HaKohen is told, I'm sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu is told to take his stick, to gather everyone together, Ata v'yaron achicha, v'otzei salahem mayim in hasala, I want you to go ahead and take water out of that rock, v'ishkisa es ha'eda v'ez be'iram. I want you to go ahead and provide water for the Jewish people, v'ez be'iram means, and for their cattle, and for their livestock. I need you to take water out of the rock in order that everyone should be able to drink. So what do you see from there? The Gemara doesn't explain. The Gemara, again, is trying to prove HaTorah Chasa Amamon and Shal Yisrael from the Pasuk in our Parsha. How do you see that? So the Chronim have a discussion about how exactly you see it from the Pasuk. Basically, the Nadi Behuda and his Tshuva about this, the Nadi Behuda, Derech Agav, writes that he thinks the limud from the Pasuk is that, yes, a miracle happened, and yes, it's very nice that we had some sort of serious problem that we didn't have any water, so God had to provide us with water because it was pikuach nefesh, but why do you have to provide for the animals? Let the animals die. There's no pikuach nefesh on an animal, so why should we assume that there's a reason to make a miracle in order to save the lives of the animals? Says the Nadi Behuda, you see from here, HaTorah Chasa Amamon Shal Yisrael, you're right, there is no pikuach nefesh on an animal, but still, the Torah is concerned that we shouldn't have everybody lose their cattle, we shouldn't have everybody lose their animals. So therefore, the Torah says over here that the Ribbono Shel Olam makes a special miracle that even the animals are going to have water that's going to come out of the rock. I remember a few months ago there was a very fascinating shaila that Rav Asher Weiss mentioned to me, that he got a question about an animal, a dog, that they found a cancerous tumor in, what do you call the testicles of a dog? What is that called? I don't know. But basically they found a cancerous tumor in the Evari HaZacharis of a dog. So obviously, in order for the sake of the dog's life, you should remove the tumor, right? Obviously, that's what you should do. You should do a vasectomy. However, that's an issur of siris. So the shaila is, are you allowed to do a siris in order to save the life of a dog? Well, on the one hand, you'll say, well, it's saving the life of the dog. On the other hand, I'm violating the issur of siris, which I'm not really allowed to violate. It's an issur daraisa of siris, and there's no din pikuach nefesh on a dog. So that, I thought, was a very fascinating shaila. It plays into here a little bit. Yes, it's true, there's no pikuach nefesh on an animal, but bottom line, the Ribbono Shel Olam went ahead and made a miracle for them. He made the water come out of the rock. So even though there's no pikuach nefesh, the Gemara proves from here that you see Hatorim chasa amamon shal Yisrael. That's the Nadi Yehuda's proof. So the problem is as follows. Many achronim ask, on our daf, the Turi Evan asks over here, and the Nadi Yehuda has there in the Tshuva, and the Aruch Laner has on our sugya as well, that why does Rashi choose to quote the Torah's Kohanim, some far-fetched Maramakam that he found by Tumas Nagayim? Why does it Rashi quote what the Gemara says Beferish? Why doesn't he quote what our Gemara teaches in Menachos? Talmud Bavli tells us that we learn it from our Parsha and Parshas Chukas. So that's the question that many Achronim ask. So listen to Turi Evan. Turi Evan says as follows. Rashi, you're telling me Rashi should have quoted the Mishnah in Nagayim where the Mishnah says, take all the Kalim out of the house? That wouldn't have been a good proof. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir have a Machlokas over there by Tumas Nagayim. Rabbi Yehuda says, what do you have to remove from the house before the Kohen goes ahead and gives the psak that this is now a bayis hamanuga? Rabbi Yehuda says you have to remove everything, even items which are not mekabel tumah. You have to remove everything from the house, even items which are not going to be mekabel tumah. So, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it cannot be that the reason you have to remove the items from the house is because hatorah chasam amon shal Yisrael, you can lose your pots. Because even if I have a pot in the house that is not mekabel tumah, I still have to take it out, so it must be for a different reason. So therefore, says the Turi Evan, a beautiful Chiddush, says the Turi Evan, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that there must be a different reason why you have to take everything out of the house, he has to learn from a different pasuk. So again, he says, this Gemara Menachos that learns the din of Atarah Chasam Amon Shal Yisrael from our Parsha of Ishkisa Satzon as Be'iram, that's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara over there that says the Taurus Kahanim, that says we learn it from Parshas Negayim, is going like Rav Meir, where Rav Meir is of the opinion that the only items that have to be removed from the house are those which are going to be Mekabel Tumah. So, very nice Teretz, it's a big Chiddush, it's a big Harifus. However, the Aruch Laner says it's absolutely wrong. Why is it absolutely wrong? Because the Aruch Laner points us to a Gemara in Moed Katan that discusses the Machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rav Meir by Bayis HaManuga. And over there, he says that the Maskanas HaGemara is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, it's true that you have to remove all the items from the house, even those which are not mekabel tumah, but that's because Rabbi Yehuda holds that by bayis hamanuga, even those items are going to become tumei. That's why Rabbi Yehuda said that. So we're back to square one. So the Aruch Laner says the whole chiddush of the Turi Evan is wrong. Again, the Turi Evan wanted to say the reason why the Gemara has to come up with a whole new limud is because that whole din by bayis hamanuga wouldn't work out according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to even remove the items from the house which are not mekabel tumah, so it must be that he has a different reason why you have to remove them, nothing to do with Hatara Chasam Amon Shal Yisrael. Ask the Aruch Laner, it's not true, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, he has a second Chiddush, which is that even though normally in all halachas of Tumah V'Tara, we would say that such an item, such a vessel, is not mekabel tumah, but here Rabbi Yisamanuga is the exception to the rule. Here Rabbi Yisamanuga, it is mekabel tumah. So then you're back to square one, you're back to the question. So that's the kasha of the Aruch Laner, which I think is a very strong kasha on the Turi Evan. Yeah? No? Good? So that's a kasha. So the Nadi Yehuda wants to give his own suggestion. Why should we assume that we need two makaras? Why do we need each one to tell me the very same halacha? Says the Nadi Yehuda, very simply. Each one teaches us a different chiddush. By Bayis HaManuga, we're taught that even for one person's money, the Torah has rachmanis. That's what we learn from there. How many people are going to be affected by the fact that my house happens to be a bayis hamanuga? My property, that's it. So I would have said, forget about it. Your problem, you spoke Lashon Hara, it's your property. What is it, a few $100 already? Your couches, your pillows, your blankets, whatever, it's too bad. Your problem, you don't have to worry so much. We don't go out of our way. There the Torah goes ahead and tells me a chiddush that we're even concerned about the money of a yachid. Even one person's individual property, says the Nadi Yehuda. That's what that pasuk teaches me. And the pasuk in our parsha and parshas Chukas v'Hishkisa teaches us that when you have the mammon of a tzibur, when you have a lot of people who are going to lose money, not only do we care about the money, but we're even going to make a miracle to save your money. The Ribbono Shel Olam is even going to make water come out of a rock in order that the tzibur shouldn't lose their money. So that, says the Nadi Yehuda, is why we need two psukim. One is to tell me that we have to be sensitive even for mammon hayachid, even for one person's money. And the second pasuk comes to teach me that when you're dealing with mammon hatzibur, when you're dealing with a large amount of money, with a lot of people's money, the Ribbono Shel Olam will go above and beyond and even make a miracle to make sure that the tzibur's money is going to be saved. So that's a suggestion of the Nadi Yehuda. Now, Rav Asher Weiss once told me that there's a Sefer Dikduke Sofrim. I know my father likes to look in it every so often. Nowadays, we don't really have to look because in our Gemaras, a lot of the Dikduke Sofrim are quoted on the side of our new Gemaras. So my father doesn't have a new Gemara, so he still looks in the old one. So the Dikduke Sofrim writes on that Gemara Menachos that this was a Tosefes drasha that never really existed in the Gemara. So obviously that's the easiest answer to give, that Gemara never existed, and that's why Rashi didn't quote it. Okay, but we never like those answers. So the Nadi Yehuda is more interesting, and the Turi Yevon is more interesting. But if you want to really be a medakdek, the answer is that Gemara never really existed, and the only makar that they had to the halacha was the Torah's Kohanim. Yeah. Why he chose this one over that one? We have a Gemara in Talmud Bavli that says the Makar. Why is Rashi quoted Torah's Kohanim from outer space? So that's the question that they ask. So what are some examples of situations? Yeah.
So Rashi could have, so he should have quoted the Tzibor one instead of the Yachid one. Sorry, Gemara's talking about.
Meaning, if you learn like the Nodi Behuda, so our Gemara is talking about Klal Yisrael on the Beis Hamikdash. Yeah, it's a good question. I don't know. So what are some examples of situations where we apply this principle? We apply this halacha about Torah Chasam Amon and Shal Yisrael. So number one, fascinating Sifri. The Sifri writes that Chag HaPesach v'Chag HaSukkah she'einam onas hamalacha, Pesach and Sukkahs which fall out in a season of year when nobody's doing work in the fields, you know what? I'll say zeh shiva v'zeh shmona. You have plenty of time, go relax, have 7 days of yantiv, have 8 days of yantiv, it's great. You're not working anyway. Atzeres, however, Shavuah, she'onas hamalacha, I'm not able to afford so many days of yantiv. It's the busy season. I have to go harvest, I have to do everything. That's why the Torah says we're only going to have Shavuos one day, whereas we're going to have Pesach and Sukkot, a long celebrated Yantiv. Why? Says the Medrash Malamed, we learn from here, Shechasach HaKosav Al Yisrael. Because the Torah was worried that I'm going to lose my Parnasa. I'm going to go take off 7 days for Shavuos, I'm going to go take off 8 days for Shavuos, that's unreasonable. So the Torah said we're going to chop it down, we're going to limit it to only being one day of Shavuos, because this is the busy season of year. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma Daf Mem Dalet, it's important to pay attention to the cases, as you'll see in a minute. The Gemara says in Yuma Daf Mem Dalet as well, that when they had the machta, which was the pan that the Kohen used to use to flip over the coals on the Mizbeach and to put them in a different place, the Kfes, so that machta was made from kesef, from silver, and not from zahav, not from gold. Why? Because HaTorah Chasal Mamon and Shal Yisrael. That's what the Gemara says. We make this keli, this machta, out of silver and not out of gold. We have, obviously, our Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, where the Gemara says we make the shofar out of silver on a tinus and not out of gold, because HaTorah Chasam Amon Shal Yisrael. The Gemara says in Yuma that when the Kohen Gadol used to have the kilfi, which is the box in which they put the Sarah Azazel, Sarah Mishtaleach, the two pieces of paper in it, and they have to draw the raffle, there the Gemara says you make that box out of wood, and you don't make that box out of gold or silver. Why? Torah Chasam Amon Shal Yisrael. What a waste of money! Can you use it one day a year, this little box, just to draw a raffle from it? That's worth paying so much money, says the Gemara. No, HaTorah Chasam Amon Shal Yisrael. We have very halacha l'maisa. The Yerushalmi says in Moed Katan, when the Achronim quoted on Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Avelos, that when you have a likut atzamos, every once in a while you have a situation where somebody, let's say, was buried in one place. Let's say my great grandparents are buried in Europe. Now we undig. Now we find that the kever is there, and I want to move them to Eretz Yisrael. So it's an upgrade. So in a case like that, what is my obligation? Not my great-grandparents, I have no avelus on them, but what if it's a parent who's buried in Europe and now I want to move the body to Eretz Yisrael? So the Yerushalmi talks about that. The Yerushalmi says this, quote in Shulchan Aruch, in Siman Tav Gimel, that Ein Shmuel Lelikat Atzamas. If I hear that somebody took the remains, the body of my parents, and moved it somewhere else, I don't have to go and sit Shiva. I don't have to do any Nihuge avelus at all. However, the Yerushalmi says, Im Shama Boba Yom, if I hear on the day that they're actually moving the body to the other place, then I need to be Noeg Avelus. That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. If I find out today that today is the day when they're moving the body somewhere else, so then I have to be Noeg Avelus. So the Chsam Sofer, the Achronim quote the Chsam Sofer, that our minig nowadays is, if for whatever reason we're doing something like this, for example, this came up many times when I was learning with my father, people would call about these kinds of shilas. You have a great-grandparent that's buried somewhere, you want to move the grandparent's body to Eretz Yisrael. So my father would say, call up this and this agency, whoever's going to do the work for you, whoever's going to fly the body to Eretz Yisrael, tell them to do everything and let them know, tell them to let you know when they're done. Because if they're going to tell you the day on which they do it, then you have to be Noeg Avelus on that day. So the Chasam Sofer says, we made a Takana Derabanan, basically, that nobody should know when they're doing a Likud Atzamos. Why? Because HaTorah Chasam Amon Shal Yisrael. What, you're going to have to take off a day of work, you're going to have to go and make pretend like you're being Noeg Avelus, even though this is a story that happened 50 years ago, but now that you take the body out of the ground and you move it somewhere else, so there is some sort of Avelus, says the Chasam Sofer, it's unreasonable to assume that people should give up work for a day. So therefore, let them do it on their own, let the Chevra Kadisha take care of it, and let them let you know after it's done. And I know that my father has said this past as well. So this is a concept that's relevant to many halachas in many different places. As we said, the Gemara does bring it into the equation in a couple of different contexts. However, one of the more famous places that it's discussed is with regard to the halacha of Hefsid Merubah. So what is a Hefsid Merubah? Sometimes in Yerudea you get the following shayla. Some milk falls into a pot and you have a pot of soup and whatever it is and it's mamash basar b'chalav, right? So if it's real basar b'chalav, so it's treif. Or you have shishim or you have rov, whatever you're going to say. Sometimes we have a psak where we say, really, it's treif. But if it's a Hefsid Merubah, then it's kosher. So what does that mean? Why should we assume that when something is a Hefsid Merubah, all of a sudden it becomes kosher? I'll give you the following example. I think it's a Hefsid Merubah for me to take off from my law practice on Shabbos. Right? I get paid $1,000 a day, $10,000 a day. Now, if I'm going to have to take off for Shabbos, I'm losing $10,000. Is that not a Hefsid Merubah? So again, if you're the kind of person that makes $10,000 a day, so then missing one day is not a big deal. But think about it theoretically. If you're somebody who has something very important on Shabbos where you can win the lottery or whatever it is, and because it's Shabbos, you're not going to go in, you're not going to claim the money, what are you going to tell me? Why don't you say, Hefsid Merubah, so it's mutter? How come when it comes to your day, all of a sudden we say, oh, really, the pot is treif, but if it's a Hefsid Merubah, all of a sudden it becomes kosher? How does it become kosher? What kind of joke is this? We wouldn't say it by anywhere else. So Rabbi Tam says the reason why is, HaTorah Chas Al Mamonot Shel Yisrael, period. Rabbi Tam writes very simply, the Torah understands that we have to be sensitive to people's money. If you're going to tell me that my pot is treif and this is the fanciest pot that I bought in France or whatever it is, that's a Hefsid Merubah, and that's something that you're not expected to swallow. That's what Rabbeinu Tam says. So where do you draw the line? What do you mean? Really? The religion is just a joke. So whenever it's going to cost me too much money, so I'll say, okay, so the Torah doesn't apply in this case. It's going to cost me too much money. What does Rabbeinu Tam mean? How do you understand this? So this is a big problem. It's a big problem, and it's very hard to understand. My father has said on many occasions from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and then my father said that after he heard it from Rav Yosha Ber Soloveitchik, who said it from his father, Rav Moshe, he found that the Ramah himself gives this explanation as to why Hefsid Merubah is mutter. So listen to the Lashon of the Ramah. Va'ani esnatzel atzmi bedavar echad. Says the Ramah, I have to ask your permission because I'm nervous. Shema yechashdunu hama'ayim. Someone's going to read through my commentary on Shulchan Aruch. They're going to read through the Ramah. They're going to start getting through Yaradeo. All of a sudden they're going to say, what's going on with this guy? How does this Ramah all of a sudden say a Hefsid Merubah is mutter? What do you mean Hefsid Merubah is mutter? Is the pot treif? Is the pot kosher? So what's going on here? So the Ramah says a disclaimer about himself. I'm a little nervous that someone's going to read through the Ramah and they're going to start calling me out. What's with the Hefsid Merubah? Why is it mutter? Either it's mutter or it's us, or we just bend the religion just because it's going to cost us money. Says the Ramah, you want to understand? Listen what it is. It's a very important Ramah. V'hu ki lefamim kasavti lahakel behefsid merubah la'ani b'davar chashav alachavad ha-shabbos. V'hu mitam, says the Ramah, why am I makel sometimes by a Hefsid Merubah? It's not because all of a sudden we bend the religion because it's going to cost us money if we go by the strict letter of the law. Rather, says the Ramah the following. Ki ba'os on mekomos, whenever we have situations like that, hayanirali ki heter gamar aliba de hilchasa, says the Ramah. We have, let's say, a machlokas between Beisham and Beisil. Not Beisham Beisil, it's not a good example, but you have a machlokas between Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda. And we're not sure how to paskin. So the Ramah says, the truth is, I really believe, like Rav Meir, that it's mutter. But, generally, we're machmir. But says the Ramah, if it's a Hefsid Merubah, why should I be machmir? Why don't I go back to the original thought that I had, that we're really makel? So says the Ramah, the regular psak that we give most regular people when they ask a shayla is, that we should be machmir, why not? However, he says, but makom Hefsid Merubah, we revert back to the original assumption that we had, which was that it should be mutter. That, says the Ramah, is the only time we allow a Hefsid Merubah to fall through the cracks. It's not because we bend the religion for money. Rather, it's because we have scenarios where we have a machlokas, gedolei harishonim, gedolei atanaim, gedolei amaraim. We know that the psak is really supposed to be one way. Out of respect to the other side, who the dissenting opinion, we're going to say, okay, why don't we try to be choshish for their opinion as well? But where it's going to cost me so much money, we're going to say, that's unreasonable. You don't have to be choshish for that opinion when it's going to cost you so much money. And Hefsid Merubah is a very difficult thing to figure out. How do you draw the line when something's considered a Hefsid Merubah and when it's not? Chasam Sofer even has a case, if I'm not mistaken, the Pischa Tshuva quotes, very strange case, that sometimes you have a butcher who's running a shop and he's selling meat to all of us. So I went to the butcher shop, I bought some meat, And now we realize that there's a shaila about the meat. So the Chasam Sofer says, both myself and the butcher come into the rabbi to ask the very same shaila. We had this and this cow, and it got mixed up with this and that, and whatever it is, and I went to the store and I bought a piece of meat, here's my shaila. The butcher walks in at the very same time, he says, I'm running the store and we mixed up with this and that, and now I want to know what to do with these 100 pieces of meat, says the Chasam Sofer. Well, for you who's asking, you only bought one piece of meat, that's not a hefsin meruba. For you, it's going to be treif. For him, he's going to have to throw out 100 pieces of meat, that's called a hefsin meruba. So it's a pellet. You're going to have two people coming in at the same time to the butcher shop, to the rabbi. They're asking the same shaila on the same cow with the same terubas, and everything's the same, and yet, says the Chasam Sofer, for one person it's a hefsin meruba, for somebody else it's not. It's a pellet. So it's dumb. It's, in general, interesting to think about where we apply the principle of hefsin meruba or not, but I think it's a big mistake. Some say, like Rabbeinu Tam, not a mistake. Rabbeinu Tam is the one who says that the reason why hefsin meruba is permissible is because HaTorah Chasam Mamona Shal Yisrael. The Ramah says, how can you say such a thing? How can you say it's because of Mamon and Shal Yisrael? All of a sudden we bend the religion, we bend the rules just because it's going to cost you money? No, you have to be able to be a God-fearing Jew and keep by the laws of the Torah, even if it's going to cost you money, even at your own expense. So how do you explain a Hefsid Merubah? So the Ramah gives us a whole different explanation that has nothing to do with our sugya at all. Yeah?
What can be the same reason? The reason we go out to make an opinion is because we're Chas Al Mon Shal Yisrael. Normally we're Mahmir.
Okay. Meaning you're saying that's what Rabbeinu Tam means to say. Could be. Could be. I like that. Because then you don't have to say that Rabbeinu Tam is such a wild idea. Could be. So now, here's the problem. The problem is as follows. So we have a principle in our Gemara and in other places of HaTorah Chasam Mamon Shal Yisrael. That's why you make a shofar out of silver. That's why you have other cases where the machta was made only out of silver, not out of gold, and other cases that we mentioned. Problem is, we have Gemaras all over the place. It's not my kasha. This is the kasha of the Maharam Ibn Chaviv in the Yom Teruah, where he asks that, on the one hand, we say HaTorah Chasam Mamon Shal Yisrael. The Torah is very careful about our money. On the other hand, we have Gemaras that indicate Ein Anias B'makam Ashiris. So for example, the Gemara says in Meseches Zvachim, the Gemara says when you have Big Day Kahuna that get worn out, so you don't go ahead, if they get all dirty and everything, you don't put them in the washing machine, they're going to look frayed when you take them out. Ein Anias B'makam Ashiris. A Big Day Kahuna gets ruined, out in the garbage, forget about it. Make it into wicks, use it for something else. But we're not going to go and throw it into the washing machine. Ein Mechapsen Asaka Likir. That's what the Gemara says. And then the Gemara goes on to give another example. Let's say you have a kli sharis that's getting banged around because everybody's using it and the Kohanim are running all over the place. So the Gemara says, and now it was nikiv, now it has a hole in it. Says the Gemara, throw it out. We don't go ahead and fix the kli sharis. Now it's going to have a patch on it and it's going to have something that's not going to fit in like the regular kli looks when it's brand new. Ein anias b'makam ashiras. Go spend money, go get a new one. Ask the Yom Teruah, how do you draw the line? How come sometimes we say, Ein anias b'makam ashiras, we need the highest standard when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. We need to make sure we're not even going to throw the Big Dekuna into the laundry. We're not ever going to fix a kli sharis that gets a hole in it. While at the same time, you're going to tell me that you only make a shofar made out of silver because Torah Chasam Amon Shal Yisrael. You're only going to make a box out of wood for Yom Kippur, for the Avodah of the Sar Mishtaleach because HaTorah Chasam Amon Shal Yisrael. How do you put these two principles together? They seem to be at odds with each other. Kasha's clear? I think it's an amazing kasha. So the Yom Teruah writes as follows. V'yira, de'isa laha ulaha. The Gemara, yes, it's true, it has both principles in different places. It's true, yesh dvarim detzarech lahatir bahem pisas yad de'ein anis b'makam ashiris. In some cases we have to say, yes, ein anis b'makam ashiris, give freely, you have to be able to be wasteful, so to speak, in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not skimpy in the Beis HaMikdash. And sometimes, sometimes you're right, you have to be very careful, very skimpy in the amount of money that you're spending with Mamon HaTzibur, with the Beis HaMikdash. So he gives the easy answer. It depends. It depends. What does it depend on? He doesn't tell us. But it depends. Every different case, they're going to have to determine whether or not this is a case that's worthy of spending money on, or whether it's not. So if you would ask me, now again, I'm not Gedolei HaChachamim, but if you would ask me, we have a Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, who's wearing big days of, big day love, and going into the mikveh, out of the mikveh, you have a million people there on Yom Kippur. Really? You think it's not worthy of having a golden box there in order for him to make the Sar Mishtaleach ceremony more beautiful? It would have my vote. You have on Rosh Hashanah, you have on Atanas. Everyone's gathered together and they're fasting and everything. The Kohen Gadol comes out in his beautiful Big Day Kahuna and he holds up a shofar. Don't you think it's worthy of spending money on that? So the Yom Teruah says, well, Each case specifically has to be determined by the Rabbanim. So why did they determine this way on these cases and that way on the other cases? Well, what's the Hagdara? How do you explain this? So the Yom Teruah is asking the question, but he doesn't really give us a concrete way to answer it. So the truth is that Nadi Yehuda had a Talmud, his Talmud Muvak, who ultimately took over his Rabbanus in Prague after the Nadi Yehuda stepped down from the Rabbanus. So Rabbi Lezer Fleklish, the Tshuva Me'ava, took over the position after his Rebbe passed away or stepped down. So the Tshuva Me'ava wrote a letter to his Rebbe about this issue. He never saw the Yom Teruah, but he asked the Nadi Yehuda this kash. Listen what he says. It's a really beautiful Chilufei Mechtavim. It's a beautiful correspondence that they had with one another. Hinei Bialdusi, says the Rebbe Lezer Fleklish. When I was younger, amadati al chakira achas. Now, when I was younger, I never thought of this, but I guess when he was younger, he did. Matzino arba pamim binyani kli amigdash. We have four examples in Gemara that Hatorah chasam amanusha Yisrael v'leis mandar palik. In those Gemaras, it says, we have to be cheap. Hatorah chasam amanusha Yisrael, don't waste money. Everybody agrees. Lu masam, on the other side, matzino arba pamim, there are four examples that the Gemara gives where nobody disagrees that you got to spend freely, openly, no being cheap, no being skimpy in the Beis HaMikdash. How do you jive these two principles together? It doesn't make any sense. And there are two cases in Shas where they're arguing whether we should apply one principle to the other. For example, the Gemara says here in Menachos Daf Pei Tes, how much oil are you supposed to use in the menorah every day? So on the one hand, one Amora says, don't fill it up so much, because there's always going to be extra, and Hatorah Chasam Amonah Shai Yisrael, it's a waste of oil. The other one says, what are you talking about? Fill it up with a whole liter of oil every day. Even if it's going to be left over, you're going to spill it out. Einon is Makam Ashir is what? Somebody should see that the oil is all the way at the bottom at the end of the day? No, that's not a respectful way to have a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara is arguing about this principle. When do we say, Einon is Makam Ashir is, and when do you say, Hatorah Chasam Amonah Shai Yisrael? So give all the good kasha. So that's the question of Rabbi Lezer Fleklish. So he writes, Shalachti Chakirazu Lekavod Adoni Mori V'Rabbi Agon HaAmiti Rabban Shal Yisrael Moreina Rabbi Cheskel Segel, which is Rabbi Cheskel Landau, the Nodi Yehuda, Ab Bezdin V'Rosh Misifta de Prague, V'zeh L'Shoni Asher Kasavti Elav Os Ba'Os. This is exactly the way I sent him the Shaila. U'Tshuvasa HaRamasi Avi Amir Tzashem L'Kaman. He writes, I'm going to bring word for word exactly what the Nodi Yehuda wrote to me. And this is what he says. So he sets up the question. And he writes, "Al kol panim divrei haTalmud tzrichim etzli Talmud gadol." I don't understand, says the Tshuva Me'ava. "Pa'amim menuya gemura mipi chachmei haTorah enu nismakam hashiris, and pa'amim hiskima b'saf ha'achas haTorah chaser. Pa'amim hamidu pluktazu. V'Rabbeinu haGadol sasa mekasuv. Rabbeinu haGadol means Rebbe who put together the Mishnayos doesn't give us the guidelines. Sometimes he sasa mekasuv pambeko pambeko. Sometimes he says like this. Sometimes he says like that." I can't figure out, how do we say a Hagdara? How do you figure out what the rule is? When do we use one principle? When do we use the other? This is a play on the words, which means, he says, how do you know when to be skimpy and close your fist and say komets zuta to have a small fist? And when do you say komets rabba, open up your fist and do whatever you want? So how do you figure it out? So the Nodi Yehuda writes back to him one line. So Nadi Yehuda says, I am overwhelmed by your unbelievable bekiyas and shas and how you collected all the sugis and you put it all together. You're amazing. That's what he writes to him first. And then the Nadi Yehuda says, I'll give you the answer. You want to know what the guiding principle is? Dalecha. Shemashu mukhrach b'klishareis. Whenever we're dealing with something which has the status of a klishareis, amrinan bey enaniyis b'makam ashiros. That's the guiding principle. When you're talking about something which is an actual klishareis in the Beis HaMikdash, then we say, you can't be skimpy. Klisharis deserves to be best of the best, most beautiful, most prominent, everyone should see it right away. And there said in Nadi Yehuda is where we're never going to hold back on paying any amount of money to have a beautiful Klisharis. When you're dealing with anything else which is not a Klisharis, even if it's in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not on the level of a Klisharis, there said in Nadi Yehuda, we apply the other principle of Torah Chasam HaManusha Yisrael. Now, if you assume like the Nadi Yehuda says, then you can understand why the Gemara says in Erechin that if the Machteshes gets a hole in it, Machteshes is the, what? The grinder, is that what you call it? So if the Machteshes has something wrong with it, so it says that they used to bring in professionals from Alexandria Shalmatraim to fix it. Why? Because that's not a klisharis, that's just something that used to help us grind the flour in order to be able to have flour from an achos. That Nadi Yehuda would make a lot of sense. And it would make sense because Tosis himself writes that Machteshes is not a klisharis. If you assume it's not a klisharis, that's why the Gemara says they would fix it, whereas other klisharis that broke, the Gemara says, throw them out. Dispose of them. We're not going to go and do a patch-up job. But what would emerge from this Nadi Yehuda is the following. What would emerge from him is that a sakin, for example, it says that if a knife gets a hole in it, we don't go ahead and patch it up. So why don't you patch it up? It must be that he holds that a sakin, a knife, is considered a klisharis. Or the Gemara says if big de kuhuna get dirty, you don't go ahead and wash them. You just get rid of them and get a new set, get a new pair. Why? Because we're wealthy in the Beis HaMikdash. We don't act skimpy in Hashem's palace. We do everything best of the best. Well, if that's true, then you have to be assuming that big de kuhuna are considered klisharis, which is a huge machlokas harishonim. Tosis on the Ritva and other Rishonim have a disagreement whether or not it's considered klisharis. And by sakin also, by the knives, it's not so clear either. Tosis himself says maybe it is a klisharis, maybe it's not a klisharis. So this Nadi Yehuda is a very nice answer, but the question is you have to make a lot of assumptions to assume that the way he sets up the guidelines, that klisharis versus non-klisharis is going to be the answer, because you might get yourself into a whole bunch of trouble when you talk about the sakin and the big de kuhuna and other things, whether or not those are considered to be a klisharis. Okay? Mitzvah Hashem, we will...